He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Luke chapter 10, verse 16, this is our theme for the week. As you can tell by the hymn you just sung, our theme for the week centers on the Word of God, its authority, and its mission in this world. For our text this morning, we're going to be speaking on the words of Scripture that were just read from the lectern. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. And on the basis of this text, I want to address to you the following question. What will we leave behind? What will be our legacy? Now, the Bible teaches, and universal human experience confirms the fact that it is appointed for men, all mankind, once to die. And this leads us to ask the question, if you knew that you were shortly to leave this earthly life, what would you bequeath to those you leave behind? Because of better health, or lesser age, or both, many of those we now love will continue to live on in this world without us. This is the fact that moves people to write last wills and testaments. And according to the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, even the Lord God himself has a last will and testament. It went into effect upon the death of his own son, Jesus Christ, who by his death took away all the sins of the world. A last will and testament is a legal instrument by which we, after our death, dispense the estate that we have acquired during our lifetime. A last will and testament is one final expression of concern and care for the welfare of those whom the departed one has left behind. So once again we ask, if you knew that you would shortly leave this present life, what would you bequeath to those you leave behind? What would you leave to your family and to your friends? What would you pass on to those institutions you wish to see continue and prosper even after you die? What did the Apostle Paul leave behind for his heirs? What did the Apostle Peter leave behind for his heirs? What will you and I leave behind to show our concern and care for those who follow us in the Christian faith? This is the question that is before us this morning. A portion from Paul's second letter to Timothy was read from the lectern this morning. It's the well-known passage which clearly teaches the inspiration and the application of the Holy Scriptures. A second portion of Scripture was also assigned for our consideration this morning. It's from the second letter of St. Peter, chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. And in these words, Peter also deals with the inspiration of the Bible and with the confidence that you and I may have in those writings. Here Peter reminds his readers that the more sure prophetic words we have in Holy Scripture were not made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. But what have these two portions of Scripture about Scripture to do with dying and with expressing concern for those we leave behind? In both instances, under the influence of God's Holy Spirit, imminent death was the human motive that led to the composition of these verses. Both Paul and Peter knew that their days on earth were quickly drawing to a close. Paul reminded Timothy of this when he said, "The time of my departure has come. I fought the fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith." And Peter addressed his readers similarly when he said, "I know that the laying aside of this earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me." Furthermore, both Paul and Peter sensed that there were serious problems still on the horizon for the Christians that they were leaving behind. Paul alerted Timothy to the fact that in the last days, difficult times will come because men are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and the list goes on. Finally, Paul tells Timothy, they'll have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny its power. These evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And Peter expressed similar sentiments when he told his readers, as false prophets arose among God's Old Testament people, so there will be false teachers among you, secretly introducing destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and they'll bring on themselves swift destruction. And Peter says, and many will follow their ways. And God's truth will be maligned. No wonder that these two great apostles of our Lord diligently sought to pass on to their Christian successors the sacred writings of their God. Why? Because even though heaven and earth pass away, and that includes powerful empires, it includes huge accumulations of wealth, and it includes all false systems of religion, though heaven and earth pass away, God's holy word will not pass away. For this we have our Savior's promise in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Paul passed away. Peter passed away. I one day will pass away. You also will one day pass away. Perhaps even this institution and this grand chapel in which we worship from day to day will one day pass away. But the word of our God, the Holy Gospel, which brings salvation, will remain, and it will continue to be profitable for doctrine and teaching, for reproof and correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that God's people may have all that they need to function as God's people in this life. As long as time continues, the church will have God's word to provide it with all it needs to keep it in the faith. Paul was convinced of this, and so was Peter. The concluding words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew are the promise of the Savior to his church. And I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus will continue to be with his church till the end of the world, because his word, the gospel, will continue to be with his church until the end of time. Jesus will, from one generation to the next, call a people for his name. He'll do it his way. He'll do it by his word. And this word will continue to bring Jesus to the church and bring sinners to Jesus. And all the pious deceptions of the devil and his minions are just no match for the powerful word of our God. The gospel of salvation by the free grace of God and the all-sufficient merits of Jesus Christ will not and cannot be muted. Who knew this better than Martin Luther? He knew it firsthand. No wonder he wrote in that great Reformation hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God." One little word can fell him, the devil, as long as it's the word of God. That word, the gospel of our salvation, they shall still let remain, nor any thanks have for it, because he, Jesus, is by our side upon the plain where the battle is fought. He's there with his good gifts and spirit. So take they our life, our goods, our fame, our child and our wife. Let them all be gone. They have nothing won. Why? Because the kingdom, ours, remaineth. Let us pray that when the day of our departure arrives, and it will arrive, we, like Paul and Peter and Luther, will leave behind for those who follow us the sure, the pure, the clear, and the mighty word of our God. What will be our legacy, yours and mine? Amen.